They don't run well enough to get to the outside.
Now, can I say this? Are you talking about at full strength, or are you talking about right now?
I'm talking about right now.
Okay.
You know, at least run a 4.3. If they throw it over your head, if you have to play man, let them throw it over your head. But, you know, I'm not going to give up 430-something yards rush. You know, or be bled to death, so to speak. And, it's just our secondary guys are so, how else do you put it, weak. They can't get, you know, Alabama's receivers were pushing our corners downfield. I mean, I saw one play there where Dieter, the guy from Bowling Green, took Baylon Buchanan and plumb out on the side on the sideline and just body slammed him.
That was that was the play where they ran the four consecutive plays to the right, and then they ran that reverse back to the left. Yep. And little Baylon Buchanan was over there. I mean, he was almost upside down in the kicking net by the time that play was over.
It was, and you know, I mean, it's you know, and then you see them formationists. They're so. I mean, look, you know. Shoot may have the reputation of being a smart guy. I don't know. You know, but I know one time, anytime they want a formation is out and they go five wides and we have no linebacker in there and they've got five guys blocking four and then they run a quarterback draw. I said, here comes quarterback draw and boom, 15 yards right up the gut because there's not a linebacker inside the hashes. So, I don't know. I mean, you know, obviously they just whipped us. I mean, you know, no other way to put it, but, until we have some people in the secondary and the linebackers too, even at the first of the season, Tony, if you remember when we were full strength against Appy State and Virginia Tech for a while, we had trouble getting to the corner. We were getting trapped inside too many times. Our linebackers were getting a lot of times if they were getting any penetration, then they were getting caught inside and then they get the corner on us. And you know, Virginia Tech had a guy that ran one for 80 yards for a touchdown or running back. I mean, it's, you know, I think a lot of it's the way we're lining up and we're getting caught inside and you know, if we had more, if our secondary people and our nickel was a little bit more, I guess you would say, physical, then maybe yeah.
Right.
But I mean, we've got some of the smallest, most fragile looking DBs back there that I've ever seen. I mean, honestly, you know, Todd Kelly's probably the most physical guy back there, but he's not very fast. And then you've got, you're looking at Buchanan, you're looking at 22, forget me, I lost his name, but Abernathy. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, we just don't force anything outside, you know.
And, you know, it's a great point because even full strength at times, we had a rough night with...
How many times did Abby stay at the corner?
That's exactly right. That's a,
you know?
It's a well-thought-out point. And I wonder if Butch Jones and his defensive coordinator revisit that. I wonder if they revisit some of their offensive approach. Again, when you're playing Alabama, though, it's kind of like a student. It's like throwing out your worst score. Because
right.
Alabama's going to be your worst score, Mariano. Nobody can do what they do. Here's a scary thing. I'm being told that this kid that's running their offense is running about 40% of what they can do. They've really warped the thing down.
It.
Imagine next year, when they give that kid the full compliment.
Well, they don't throw it. It's
well, you know, Tony, I think, absolutely, I think, you know, there's going to be tons of play action next year that
no
we don't
question.
See this year.
No question. But he doesn't have a very, he's not, I'm going to say he doesn't have a very good arm. He's got a real strong arm. He's just not accurate at all.
Right. I mean, you know, if they could use O.J. Howard like they should, they would, you know, it'd be even worse than what it is. But
thank God
I mean,
they didn't use him today. Thank God
really?
They didn't use him. Yeah.
I mean, but at least, you know, they're smart enough. He's smart enough to know, hey, look, Tennessee's got, they've got a four-man front here.
Yep.
They've got two small linebackers.
Yep.
They've got a nickel back that weighs, I think, Golden might weigh 180, 185.
Yep.
So I'm going to ram it down their throat. They're not going to put another linebacker in there. I'm going to ram it down their throat.
Right.
And that's exactly what happened. And we just stood there and didn't change anything.
No. Here's my question for you. In light of the injuries on that team, in light of the lack of linebackers on the team,
true.
What could we change?
Well, where's Kenny Bynum at? He's really good. I would put Bynum in the middle. We were talking about
this. Question.
He's good against the downhill running team. And then I would move Jumper and Barry to the outside and put them outside the tackles, outside the offensive tackles where they can flow outside and not get caught up inside. You know? And at least, you know, they may throw it over my head because you're going to have to play more man coverage that way, but So what if they do? I mean, it's either a quick death or a slow death, and you know, who knows? You might get some negative plays, but at least you're forcing it, and you're not letting them dictate to you so much. You know, in my mind, anyway.
Did you get the sense today from our approach that we almost played that as sort of a kick the can down the lane game?
Well, I mean, you know, early I thought, you know, I thought, well, when I saw, what happened to Chance Hall, by the way? Does anybody know?
No.
You know,
what happened to
McKenzie? Chance Hall.
We just had guys mysteriously disappear throughout the course of the game.
Well, you know, after they intercepted the screen pass, and I'd say Chance Hall anymore, and Tatum was in the next series.
That's right.
So I don't know. I don't know what happened. I didn't see him limp off or anything. Of course, now I saw Kendrick limp off.
Right.
You know, and, you know, let me say something else to you, and this has been something that's on my mind. You know, in the off season, Butch ran off the Rick Harrison lookalike, you know, our strength and conditioning
guy. And it was weird. It was like overnight. That's right.
Yeah, you know, and some of the players didn't like him. That's what I heard from several different people. Well, the players didn't like
him
in his long drive.
He didn't connect. That's right.
Right. Well, I don't know what we're doing now, but, you know, I attribute a lot of the injuries. Now, I'm not saying all of them. Mm-hmm. Don't get me wrong. But I'm saying, you look at our players and you look at the majority of what we're playing against in the SEC.
Mm-hmm.
We're going against bigger, stronger, more physical players. And I mean, our guys look, just like I said, on defense, we're so fragile. Other than Barnett and some of the guys inside, you look at our linebackers and even when they've got our first, you know, Kirkland's not a big guy. Neither was JRM. He's not a big guy.
No.
Cam Sutton's not a big guy.
No, some of those guys are spindly for the
position. They are. I mean, you know, JRM may go to the league, but he'll be a special teamer.
He's
that's all he'll ever
guy.
Be. He's not big enough to play inside in the NFL. He's
not down in and down out. No, you're
that's
right.
That's exactly right.
That's right.
So, you know, I don't know. You know, I mean, I think that's the first place that if I'm going to look for some help, you know, he's got to realize it. Hey, look, we're getting beat because we're not physical enough, first of all, I think. And it cost us last week, too. I think, you know, you know, you look at A&M, some of the players they got, and I mean, just look at them, and just look at ours, and I mean, it looks like a mismatch. Even against Georgia, some. You know, Florida. I mean, even though we won the game, you know, still, I mean, we don't have enough, you know, we don't have enough, I guess the word now is docs. We don't have enough Juwan Jennings or Warriors or some of those guys with some attitude out there.
How about this? Where is Warriors, guys? Can we ask that?
He played a little bit.
I know that
half.
At the end. Right.
Yeah.
When the game was out of reach.
Yeah.
Why don't you like to your point? We were talking about this with Bino yesterday because I saw what was going to kind of what Alabama was going to try and do, and this is far from my grasp. But just in talking to people, if it's me and I had a do-over, here's what I do. I take Kelly and I put him up at linebacker, and if you want to play Barry there with him, play Barry there with him. Get out of that alignment you're in, that 5-2 alignment, which is what you're talking about.
4-2, yeah.
Right, 4-2, I'm sorry. Take Warrior and put him back there, and if you have to, throw Jennings back there. And let Jennings be Carl Pickens. Let him play center field for you.
Well, Tony, it's, you know, and we saw it again today, and I'm so sick of seeing it. The first place that, you know, that we need help, obviously on the offensive line we need help still. But the first place we need help is we need some secondary people who can run, first of all. You saw 235 pounds run away from us. We couldn't run the guy down. I mean, a 235-pound back, he's running away from us there. You know, how many times we saw that in the last 8 to 10 years? We just don't have enough speed back there, first of all. And they're fragile on top of that. You know, I would give up something. I'd either have some guys back there with some size who would give up some speed who could hit people, or have some really fast guys who could run people down. No, we got a lot of tweeners in there.
Mariano, thank you. Great,
sure,
great passion, great call. Your thoughts on Mariano's points, Russell Smith.
I mean, I think that I'd like to see Warrior at this point. I mean, we heard in that one scrimmage in the preseason how he basically just took it over and dominated.
Yep.
And I just wonder, you know, Abernathy is a sophomore, TK is a junior. Are we really just going to sit him for 2 years of his career? Is he that good? Can you play him at nickel? Here's my question. We're so beat up at cornerback. Surely Galdon can slide out and play corner, and then you get Warrior in that way.
I don't understand how that kid can be so physically gifted and on a team that's beset with injuries not be on the field. Well, and I'm trying to take that as not a red flag against him. I'm really trying to take that as not a red flag.
My guess is maybe you're going through this murderer's row, these four difficult games, and you don't want to drastically alter your lineup. Maybe now that you've gotten to the off week and the schedule lightens up, you can take a look at doing some different things. I think you have to.
Good point. X is working on that for us on my blog, which is now that 10-2 is in sight, and 10-2 is very much in sight. However, it's also in doubt because this team continues to lose people.
Tyler Bird also hobbled off at one point, I'm
Absolutely.
Told.
No, Tyler Bird hobbled off the field today. Tyler Bird's on my list. Now, here's who I have as people who were hurt today, and then we're going to look at some of
Danny
the numbers.
Danny Parker tweeted out a pretty good list.
Game. Okay, give me what Danny Parker has, and let me see if I can add her or take from it. As Danny's InsideTennessee.com and does a great job there. I have Kendrick. I have that Bird limped off. Abernathy looked like he blew a tire, although we're not going to know that, but he certainly pulled up on that Scarborough run, and he did not quit because he's not that kind of kid. Hall obviously was missing. McKenzie, you mentioned earlier, is on my list. What else?
So here's the list that Danny put out in the middle of the ballgame.
Okay.
These are not guys that they lost today. That you know, the five or six guys.
This is all the
These
losses.
Are the guys who weren't in uniform today.
Gotcha.
Are you ready?
Yes.
Kirkland,
right.
Reeves Maven,
right.
Sutton,
right.
McKenzie, A. Johnson, whoever that is, McDowell, Foreman, Wiseman, Sapp, Mikael McDaniel, Austin Smith, Jaquane Blakely, Latrell Williams. Those guys didn't even dress. Let alone you lost.
That's 12. That's like 12 of your 85 right there.
Yeah.
And five of them are really good defensive players.
So you lost both tackles today. You lost K-Mac. Abernathy blew a tire. Bird got hurt. That's five guys you lost today. Vickers went down at one point.
He sure did.
So there's six.
And that's my point. In a sense, I'm not changing the page on this Bama game because the Bama game's a Bama game, and it was a beating.
I mean, there's about 20 guys you're missing.
I'm looking at the stretch drive. You got to get people back.
Yep.
And one thing you can't do if you're Butch Jones is hit in practice. Not hit in practice. Oh, look at how that works, Dubsy. Isn't that cool?
I'm just glad you have your little rubber case here.
I got to turn this thing.
Those of you listening at home, I just completely destroyed the Periscope.
It's pretty cool.
Not even drinking. How about that?
No. Sober, man. In fact,
we might ought to look into remedying that.
Yeah, I need to go get me a.
You want something?
Cold moose head. Why don't you get something and get me something? And you come on back, and then we'll do our Moosehead Moose of the game. Let's go back to our phones, 865-200-5402. That reminded me. Dubsy just reminded me. I mean, sometimes you gotta take care of yourself there. Let's go back to your phones and get some more people in here today, and we'll get as many folks in. My name's Basilio. He's Russell Smith. We are an hour and 16 minutes in, and I can remember my name at this point. This is good. Hello and welcome into our first caller. Hello, welcome.
Hey, Tone. It's D. Brady.
Hey, Brady. Great to hear your voice tonight.
Yeah, man. About a month and a half ago or so, I called you and I gave you a list of scholarship players that I thought we had some, we needed to trim the fat. Course number seven quit this week. That's one of them. I said that we had I think it was between 12 and 15, and I'm just going off the cuff here, 12 and 15 scholarship players at the receiver position. And I also told you that we had several in the offensive line that were juniors or better that hadn't seen the field and still haven't seen the field. That we had some wasted scholarships there. I'm just curious now what you think about, the attrition and everything that's happened. as the season played out, you know, with these scholarships are laying there dormant, you know, while we carry 15 receivers on scholarship. How do you think that this is going to play out now moving forward?
You know, I don't know. I would think that they've got to figure out a way to finagle some numbers. They have really got to find a way to bolster this class, bolster their depth. You know what's interesting about this team right now when you start talking about the depth? How many true freshmen, Russell, are playing right now?
Not as many as in years past.
And that's...
But they're... People don't want to hear this. They're still a pretty young team. They've got...
I understand.
We have like a dozen seniors that are actually contributing
but
right
that's
now.
That's a really interesting question to ponder is when you start thinking about, and that's kind of what Brady's getting at here, you start thinking about your depth and you go, you know, and this is easy for Alabama. I mean, Alabama threw a true freshman quarterback out there today and rolled us. Now, it wasn't really anything. I'm not taking anything away from the true freshman quarterback. But hell, like a quarterback at Alabama team right now. I mean, sugar. Look at him.
Well, that leads me to part two.
Yes.
As the camera panned in and you could see, you know, it was obvious they would show helmets, which would show shoulders and arms of the mostly the Alabama running backs who were running rough shed overs. And they would pan over and show our defensive linemen, some of our toughest guys, and their arms are way bigger. I don't know that bigger doesn't always mean stronger, but in my opinion, bigger is always stronger, especially in football. You know, Butchie Boyd made this move. This was his move, defensive coordinator and the strength and conditioning coach. I mean, you know, we got to bring him into account here because we're not keeping up with the Joneses. I mean, the bar is Alabama. It has always been Alabama in this conference.
No.
And just because it beat Florida, Tony.
No, the bar.
Let's be honest. They've got a lackluster coach.
The bar is not Alabama.
We're just hanging on, you know, hoping we can keep beating them until they get somebody that's better. Or we can actually step up and move forward, you know, a la Philip Fulmer.
When Philip Fulmer, your guy, who's my guy, by the way, but not to the degree that he's your guy. When he was at Tennessee, Alabama was not where they are right now. In fact, Alabama was in transition.
Well, can we not go back and say that Philip Fulmer stood up to the system and actually blew the whistle on him? Because we all know that
Florida back then was the team nationally. And we couldn't keep up with them. I mean, so let's all.
Fulmer
just
got beat like this a couple of times.
Yeah, let's all just kind of be, shall we say, honest about this, Steve Brady. I mean, if you want to go there, I don't want to go there. I mean, but if you want to go there, we can go there.
Well, let's go there because
Saban onside kicked the ball on Fulmer in 2005 and beat the living hell out of Tennessee. Thoughts. And then they came in here in 2008, and they sang their national anthem. They sang their anthem for three straight hours. Thoughts.
That sounds great, Tone. That sounds great.
Listen, if you're going to throw down on Butch Jones, I mean, be honest.
Here's what I'm going to do. Look, allow me to say this. This program is, we've hit our peak. We hit it in recruiting about a year and a half ago.
What are you talking about?
And we hit it in this year. We're starting to trend down. Nobody wants to come here.
What?
Nobody, including receivers from Oak Ridge.
I guess that's why they're in the top 10 in recruiting
according to
all the rankings.
Just being realist.
No, you're not.
Brady, you're being an absolute alarmist tonight.
Alarmist?
Alarmist.
Well, just follow the trend, man.
What are you talking about?
This is the point where Hillary says, go to factchecking.org or something.
I
you know?
I am alarming. Because we are losing. We are losing today, 49-10, against a top, the number one team.
No kidding.
Yeah.
They're like better than anybody.
They had mercy on us, Tony. They showed mercy.
Brady, thank you. You see when he got really agitated?
I was ate up with dumbass.
When I brought that stuff up about Coach Fulmer, who I love. But y'all can't have it seven ways. Y'all can't have it seven ways. And the guy on Periscope is telling me to screen my callers. Bro, I'm getting ready to screen you. You're getting ready to get screened. 865-200-5402. Again, 865-200-5402. It is time, ladies and germs, this is a special portion of the program. We are, you are listening tonight to your Smart Way, Garza Law Firm Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction. And I want to thank my friends at Citizens National Bank, where banking never felt so good, for their sponsorship tonight. Branch 20. Branch 20 is opening as we speak. Let's go to the phones. Actually, I can't do that. It's time for the Moosehead Moose of the Game, as picked by a panel of Russell Smith.
It's time for the Moosehead Moose of the Game. Honoring the most bruising player in today's game. Presented by Moosehead Lager. Brewing winners since 1867. Pour yourself a cold one. Now, let's give it up for your Moosehead Moose of the Game.
Wow.
All right, Russell Smith, I'm holding a cold moose head right now. Awesome packaging. Great taste. And who are we going to give, Dubsy, our moose head moose of the game to this evening?
Big shout out to my guy. I say my guy. I've never met him before. Wouldn't know him if he walked in right now. Darren Siebold, the head groundskeeper at Neyland Stadium, Shields-Watkins Field. It's the third Saturday in October, and the field doesn't look like my backyard. It actually looks good again. They might have fixed the field problem. That's about all I can say for this game this afternoon.
Congratulations to Darren Siebold.
Field looks nice.
You are the Moosehead Moose of the game, and what Darren doesn't realize yet is that I have just gotten off the phone with Andy Loy a few minutes ago, and you can actually receive this prize. So we're going to send over a case of Moosehead this week over to the Tennessee Grounds crew this week. Darren Siebold, ladies and gentlemen, for taking all the beating he took last year, is the Moosehead Moose of the game. Shields-Watkins Field is back being what it is, which is to say, a hallowed hall where we celebrate our story tradition. Back to the phones we go, and you know you got the hell beat out of you when you're giving your groundskeeper an award. So let's, without further ado, and I'm not going to argue with it, Dubsy, because doing talk radio as we have doing talk radio all these years, the field has really been a topic of conversation,
sure.
Unfortunately. Back to our phones we go. Next call is up on your Smart Way, Garza Law Firm, Fifth Quarter Fan Reaction. And Darren Siebold, you've practiced field discipline, as I'm being told. Congratulations to you. And let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Tony, John Tweet.
Hey, Tweety, welcome in, babe.
What do you say, my friend?
Have better days. Have better days.
I would agree. That was a clinic. You know, it seemed like, I don't know if I wasn't watching it right, but it seemed like Kiffin just went ahead and took Bob Shoup to school. And I mean, he's missing a ton of players, but
yeah,
the shifts, the motion, it
yeah.
just looked like, I think I heard maybe Kessling talk about it on the way out as I was catching the last little bit of the game, get the car and head home, but he just looked like, and I was watching this, so I was like, what are we doing? It looks like we're lost out there. You know, the ball would be going one way, and our guys are just,
A lot of alignment issues today, Russell, which again goes back to my belief, which is Kirkland, the thought was, we're getting him back. And he got a bulk of the preparation, and then later in the week they just realized, hey, he's hurt again. Look what happened.
This isn't my area of expertise, but I won like the long Hurts touchdown run in the first half,
yes.
where Jumper basically like shifted himself and Barry out of the play.
Right.
I mean, Jumper's a cerebral guy. Like, I got to think that was the right check for whatever he saw.
Absolutely.
And that Kiffin just had us schemed up perfectly, and
right.
they just They out-coached us on that one.
Well, in other words...
Because Jumper doesn't make a mistake. He doesn't just purposely
mental
shift
mistakes,
this guy out
mental
of
mistakes. We're going to err on...
Athletic
yeah, I'm going to err on the I'm going to err on the side of... On a play like that, like somebody asked me, who's to blame on that, like on Twitter today? And here's the deal. Alabama's to blame on that. You know why? Because they have a great athlete at quarterback who can get to the edge whenever he wanted to on our defense. And they execute like the damn Russians back in the day. I'm telling you guys, it's what it looks like. They just stone cold show up in your building and smash your face in.
Well, and it's what they've got, what, 50 assistant and coaches? Every player has
absolutely.
Their own.
Absolutely.
They're just pre-programmed, and
right.
it's this big monolithic machine that and doesn't make mistakes ever. It's
we're
just,
talking about our strength and conditioning guy, okay,
yeah.
today. Their strength and conditioning guy makes more than any defensive coordinator going. I mean going. I'm not joking. They have Steve Sarkisian right now as
former head coach of USC, and he's like,
who's got a great offensive mind?
He's cutting up film.
Yeah, I mean,
in between
it's
practices.
Not fair. We literally have a guy that looks like he could be served at Golden Corral. Would you like Mike DeBoard? Would you like an extra Mike DeBoard?
Hit the chocolate fountain, Debo.
Jeez Louise, man.
Oak Charlie's has some good yeast rolls, by the
way. Wow.
let me ask you another thing. That when they run that little flare out to Hurd, I mean, there was a time, one play during the game that Kroom, and they threw it to Hurd, and Kroom flashed wide open right across the middle of the field. Is it Dobbs just staring him down, and he's not looking the other receivers, and that's his first option? Or is he just so, you know what I mean? Or is
probably,
he
but can you blame him? He's got half a second to throw out there. He's basically got to make his mind up before the ball is snapped where he's going with
what
it.
What that was today, and this is no joke, was that was a guy who was on I-40 trying to play quarterback. Snap, hike, and here you come.
Well, and to that point, I mean, I think I watched early in the first half, they were coming down at us in our end zone.
Yeah.
And, you know, or their back was to us. Tennessee's back was to us in our end zone. And I think Alabama sacked him with rushing three and covering with eight. I swear it was like three down linemen rushing, and maybe somebody spying Dobbs, and they got rushing for three against our five.
Sure.
The guy doesn't really have a chance. I think they threw the ball downfield to Brandon Johnson. It seemed like he fell, and then it seemed like they throw it to Jennings. The guys, like, it looked like to me all over his back. He just, you know, fought him off the time or two, but he just, I don't know what to say to that, really. Honestly. Did you guys see something different? Y'all watched on TV, obviously. I was there trying to
survive.
What was the deal with that Scarborough? Or is that what he, why did he?
He taunted a fan.
Like, what was the, why?
Because they were ahead by, I don't know, at that point, six scores? I don't know.
I'd have probably spit in his face, too, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I just...
I don't know what you would do. I guess you'd be so surprised by it happening. You'd be like, what?
Right, like, what are you doing? Like, okay, I mean, I'm here to enjoy the game, man. And by the way, the fact that I'm here to enjoy the game gives you the opportunity to play in this big stadium, which
right.
might give you the opportunity one day to play and do this for money. I mean, what a concept. How about showing some appreciation for me? It kind of goes into the whole, my whole deal. I don't mind a little taunting. I don't mind that at all. But you don't have to go get in some fan's face. That doesn't make
any
sense.
I mean, maybe on the sidelines, swooping it up. I mean, maybe.
Sure.
But
like Hurts was doing doing a little shush or rolling his eyes at the camera. I mean, I don't even like that stuff, but whatever. You don't have to go into a fan's face and do that. There's never a call for that. It doesn't unless somebody threw something at you, and then if you want to go after a fan, go for it.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, you realize Nick Saban will go ahead and handle that discipline internally. You know, obviously. You can be assured.
Sure. Just like that Williams kid got
care of.
Just like that Williams
kid.
He's
riding around with guns and weed down there, not missing a game time. I don't think he's going to come off the top rope on you for taunting a fan.
I would love to know what they did with that guy behind the scenes or the judge. down there in
Louisiana. Oh, you mean the guy in Louisiana? What kind of pile of money he got?
I bet it was unbelievable. I bet it was unbelievable.
Poor kids without air conditioning. Jesus. What a time to be alive, boys. All right, guys. Y'all have a great show. Thanks for joining.
Thank you. Yep. So my point is, I'm not going to sit here and say that Tennessee fans shouldn't be pissed after tonight, because you should. But here's a great conversation to have, and somebody brought it up earlier. Is Alabama, Russell, are they our bar? Do you consider them our bar?
They should be. Yeah, I mean, you might as well set your goals high, and they are the peak of college football right now. And if that's not what you aspire to be, you'll never be the best in your conference, and you'll never win a conference championship. It doesn't mean you're ever going to get there. Maybe it's just as long as Nick Saban's there, they're playing a different game than the rest of the country. But, yeah, I mean, that's what you should aim for.
Patrick Brown said Alabama's 595 yards, and there's going to be some numbers crunching after this game. Today, we're the most the Tide have ever had against Tennessee. 594 yards. I'm sorry, I called it 595. 594. And
I'm surprised that's all against that defense that Tennessee put out there. Surprised. That's kind of low.
They didn't execute. It could have been a lot worse. If they would have hit some of their pass plays, that kid was having a good day throwing the ball. There's no telling what they would have done if that kid was connecting. I mean, the one area of the game Tennessee really did well in, which tells you everything you know about today's game, was a return game. I mean, I'm serious.
No, the grass really looked good. I mean, I'm not kidding there.
Grass looked good.
The field looks fantastic.
And the grass looked good.
Darren freaking Siebold, 5-star.
And Jalen Hurts has awesome hair. The frosted tips look that the guys are going with now is phenomenal. It is Performance Medicine Top Performer of the Game time. Here we go.
It's time for the Performance Medicine Top Performer of the Game. Presented by Performance Medicine. Perform at the top of your game with Performance Medicine. You can find it online at performancemedicine.net. And now, here's the Performance Medicine Top Performer of the Game.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, as much as it pains me to say this, I've got to just keep it real and keep it real, really. Jalen Hurts in today's game carried the ball 12 times for 151 yards and 3 touchdowns and had another 143 yards passing, 16 of 26, 1 interception, a long of 31. He was sacked twice. Jalen Hurts, with close to 300 yards in total offense, is your performance medicine. Top performer in today's game. And it hurts me to say that. Performance Medicine online at performancemedicine.net. I encourage you to perform at the top of your game with East Tennessee's premier integrative family medicine clinic with offices in Johnson City, Kingsport, and Knoxville. Go online at performancemedicine.net and see why Dr. Tom Rogers, after 3 decades in the regular family medicine deal, said, you know what? I'm not dealing with insurance anymore. We're not doing that. I'm going to treat people. I'm going to make people well. I'm going to help people. God bless you, Dr. Rogers. Performance Medicine, online at performancemedicine.net. Back to the phones we go, 865-200-5402. Yeah, Dubsy, when they start crunching the numbers out of this game, it's woo! Wow. Wow. Wow.
I'm kind of with you. I mean, I ain't going to crunch the numbers, and if I'm Tennessee's coaches, I just junk that film. And
I don't even look at it.
Just look forward. You know, how can you manufacture a win against South Carolina? That's going to be tough, as decimated as they are with the injuries right now. How do you figure out a way to win that game, get guys healthy, and get to this stretch run
Florida's
in these
not
next five
win
games?
Florida's not winning the rest of their games.
God, I hope not.
But my question is, are we? We're beat up, man.
Yeah.
We are really beat up.
What's the hardest game left? Is it South Carolina or Mizzou?
Great topic to have. Let's go back to the phones. Hello to our next call. Welcome in. You're on your Smartway Garza Law Firm fifth quarter fan reaction. Hello.
Hey, Tony.
Yes.
Hey, this is Sober Mike. Seem to be drunk, Mike.
Hey, Sober Mike, welcome in.
What's up, Bo? Hey, let me talk to you. I don't know if anybody recognizes anything. I was watching Josh Dobbs' dropbacks and his, you know, his quarterbacking skills or lack of. Mm-hmm. Man, he would go back, he'd get his three-step drop, you know, look, the pocket's collapsing on the outside. Anybody that's a quarterback coach, if it's collapsing on the outside, you go up and out. So all you got to do is step up and get out of the pocket.
Right.
That was a problem today. Now, I'm going to change my whole phone call around to this. If anybody wants to jump off the big orange wagon, get off. Because we're going 10-2,
yep.
We're going to get healthy,
yep.
And we're going to beat Bama's ass,
yep.
In December, and you write it down. Agree or disagree?
I feel that way. I'm a little more concerned about it than I was, but I'm still, my slogan of IGYV remains intact, which is win the East, get to Atlanta, win 10 games. Look, if you win 10 games against that schedule with all the injuries we've had,
right?
That's a great coaching job. Not a good coaching job. That's a great coaching job.
Fabulous, Tony. You got three first two rounder defensive draft picks not even on the field.
Yep. You're right. And here's the thing, though. Here's a question to answer. Do we really want to go play Alabama again after what I saw today?
Well, Tony, I have to believe it.
You know, whoever you play down there, yeah, you'd rather play LSU or A&M again. I'd love another shot at A&M.
They're a bunch of wussies,
but they beat us, so I tolerate that.
They're soft, man. I'll tell you what. If I was going to give Chavis some advice, if we were able to run all over them, yeah. Imagine what that Alabama team.
Yeah, I mean, and they play next week. So what is Chavis thinking? It's like, wow, Tennessee put up 648 yards or almost 700 yards.
The over-under on that, Alabama, it starts at 650 is where I'm putting the number.
Oh, yeah.
Total offense.
Yeah.
But I don't want A&M again. I don't know that I want Alabama again. I think I'd maybe like to go, I don't know, go do something that day.
I just got back from the beach, Bubba, so I don't give a crap. Anyway, check it out. Let me tell you this. All right. Tony, I just drew a blank. Let me look at my thing. All right, here we go. Tell me what you saw. Now, look, I know we got manhandled, correct?
Yes, I think
we did. Yeah, we got manhandled. But there was a lot of holding, Tony. When are they going to... Am I correct in saying that this has been 8 quarters of football versus University of Alabama with not one holding penalty? Am I correct or wrong? With an offensive line holding penalty.
That's correct. Alabama went a full season a couple years ago without a holding call. And there were very few penalties in today's game. And I'll get the final numbers for you. Alabama is, without a doubt, among the least penalized teams in all of college football generally. Now this year, they, in turnover margin, were only like 25th coming into the game. Generally, they're a little higher than that. So let me look at the
I'd like to know that.
Yeah. In fact, I'll go through the numbers here momentarily.
Hey, do that. And, Elliot Berry, come on, dude. I've been wanting to watch this guy play all year, but now I know why he's not on the field. Love his heart. Love the family. And I'm not dogging the kid because he wants to wear the orange, but there's a reason you're fourth string, correct?
Yeah, there was a reason I was fourth string in everything I tried.
I love you, Tony. God bless, brother.
You too, my friend. Good talking to you. Let's look at some of the numbers, Dubsy, in today's game, and you tell me how that score was more one-sided, and then we'll go back to the phones. And I'm looking up the penalty numbers, Dubsy. If you could get me the penalty numbers, I'd really appreciate that.
Somebody told me Tennessee only had one penalty. I'll have to double-check that. But
I think that's right. Tennessee had one, and they had none.
On the kickoff?
Which his call is corroborated.
That's insane.
His call is corroborated. The Zebras took the day off.
Well, no, because there was a block on one of Bama's punt returns.
That wasn't called. That was the one call. And then we declined the other one. How about when they had their first punt return, when the ball was fielded back in the shadow of the end zone, which is the
new
thing now.
They threw a flag on that.
No, they threw a flag on that one play, that's right. But then we declined the other penalty. There were no other penalties.
I mean,
think about that.
You cleaned that up.
That's the one where we had the big return. That's the one where we had the big return.
You just had the one turnover. So, I mean, if you're looking for rays of sunshine, I guess. Okay, the field looked good. You only had one penalty, and you only had one turnover.
Here are some really staggering homeward to your precious one numbers. First downs in the game, they had 28, we had 11. They had 20 first downs rushing, we had 2.
Ooh.
They had 438 net yards of rushing, we had 32. They averaged 8.9 yards per rush, we averaged 1. Stop me when you've heard enough. They had 594 yards total offense. We had 163. Their average gain per play, 7.8 yards. Ours, 2.6. We didn't even punt the ball well today.
Yeah. I mean, when Trevor Daniels shanks one, you know that it ain't happening for you.
Now, he did get a couple howitzer shots off. Make no mistake about it.
Aaron Medley hit his only... Why are you kicking a field goal when you're down? It's a three-score game, and that doesn't change anything. It pulled you to 28-10. It's 28-7. Why are you kicking a field goal? I mean, I know it doesn't matter at the end of the day, but why? Like, what's the point?
Back to the phones we go, 865-200-5402. Let's get our next call in. Hello and welcome.
Hey, gentlemen. This is Randall, and also... Vern called Trevor Daniels Trayvon Daniels tonight, didn't he?
Did he really?
Yeah.
Wow.
But, you know, you're asking about the, why to kick a field goal. I'm kind of thinking of, like you did, Tony, in the first half, that they were just trying to get through the game. It's almost like the coaches had a little deal. Hey, we know you're going to thump us up a little bit, but just let us get through the rest of the season, and we don't want to show all of our offense for South Carolina and Tennessee Tech and Vanderbilt. And we know you don't want to show all of your offense to Texas A&M and LSU, but I don't know, kind of, but there was something just because we weren't falling out. I know we don't have everyone in place, but at the end of the day, it was still, hate to say, it was just kind of an embarrassing loss with all the emotion and, been prominent, but Alabama's going to thump and run all over people, the rest of the year, just like they did us. But we just, as far as, physicality and that sort of thing, we're just not there yet. I mean, even though this is Butch Jones' third, I think, full recruiting class, you're just getting a class together enough. You're just trying to get a couple starting teams, like a starting offense and starting defense. You just don't, we're not in an area where we can have a lot of depth. I mean, I watched Farragut last night on my VLT, and their offensive line looked about like the same size of ours. Seriously.
Yeah, we had I mean, let's just look at it. When you think about the left side of our offensive line tonight and what we had, Bama had 5 penalties in tonight's game. I don't even know what the hell I'm looking at. I'm exhausted. For 38 yards, we had 1 for 10. And I appreciate the people on Periscope and on Twitter for keeping me honest. But back to our original point, which is that the depth of our football team right now, all off season long, we said if this was going to be a special year, which it can still be a special year, we're going to have to stay healthy. If I would have told you that we would have all those injuries and go 2-2 through the gauntlet, every man, woman, and child listening to the sound of my voice right now would have taken that. Now, in the aftermath of the Alabama game, it hurts because it hurts to hurt. I mean, it sucks to get beat like that. Nobody wants to get beat like that. And I'm not telling anybody how to think, but 2-2. 2-2 is a pretty good mark when you consider that 3 of them were 3 of the most thrilling, most interesting football games we've seen around here in some time. I'll take that all day long.
Oh, yeah. And I think with South Carolina, I mean, some of you, your callers, including you guys, too, I mean,
South Carolina, they've played close with teams this year, yeah. Texas A&M, Georgia, same teams that we've played. But I think we may finish the year kind of like we started, where we're going to scrap and we may make some crazy mistakes, but I think we may have what it takes to rally. And then once we get to the bowl game, we'll have, you know, 3, 4, 5 weeks to rest. And
yeah.
I think by then we can really finish the year strong. And I guess one of the things that I was thinking about the whole game was that this was our biggest day of recruiting. So one side, just some of the recruits could probably look at it and mm-hmm. say, oh, man, that's embarrassing. Or they can say, man, we can come right in and contribute right
exactly
away.
Exactly what I'm selling. That's exactly what I'm selling. I'm saying to that Smith kid.
Callers, man.
Yeah, thank you, brother. Good talking to you.
Yep.
I'm telling that Smith kid from West Tennessee, hey, pick your spot.
Yeah, I think they're going to get him. The one I want is the Wade kid, the 5-star cornerback from Pennsylvania.
And I'm telling him.
And he can play right away.
And I'm telling him, brother.
We need you. Those are the two areas I feel like Tennessee has got to upgrade their talent
area
is linebacker and cornerback. Everywhere else, they're pretty good. They've got depth enough to win an SEC title, I feel like. But they've got to get better at linebacker and corner.
865-200-5402 or 1 hour and 48 minutes old. And let's get our next call in. In fact, before we do that, we'll bring Bino in here. Bino, let's roll through some calls here. Bino, and then we'll get your thoughts. But welcome in tonight, Bino. How you doing, buddy?
Tony B, Dubsy. Glad to be with you. Dubsy, you can never take another weekend off. You took one weekend off, and we fell completely apart.
Great point.
Well, actually, they probably should have won last week, and the week I come back, we fell completely apart, so maybe I need to stay away.
I think it was the week of preparation.
Back to the phones we go, and we'll get as many people in here as humanly possible this evening. Hello, that's my phrase that pays tonight. Hello and welcome in to our next caller. You're on your smart way. Garza Law Firm, fifth quarter, fan reaction, welcome.
Hey, Tony, it's Eric.
Hey, Eric, welcome in, bro.
Hey, Dubs, Bino. That was a really tough night. I wish I could just drink my way through this and have a drinking game. Like every time Vern has his crazy laugh.
Oh, my gosh.
Anything. Just like what you guys were doing a second ago there with, you know, the week of preparation that you missed out on. That's exactly. I was just sitting here thinking to myself. Oh, the mute.
Ha, ha, ha.
That's right. The mute button. Hey, the mute button was working hard tonight, guys. I'm glad that mute button hung in for me.
How about when Danielson came out? He had his Spinal Tap moment. He comes out with Manning in a shower curtain, in a what?
Friggin' Yakov Smirnoff up there. But what the?
Not a shower curtain. What do you have on?
It was a bathrobe.
Bathrobe.
What
you know, I just called it a shower curtain. You think I've been Bama eyes today, Dana?
That was good, Tom. I gotta change that. I gotta try and bring some pep into our step here. First of all, I'm a walking advertisement for a barbecue joint over in Mississippi. I've had Dreamland before. I lived in there with the Bammers for some years. That Dreamland stuff just tastes like I'm drinking vinegar and mustard a little bit. But the best ribs that I've ever had, guys, seriously, the place called Letha's in Hattiesburg, Mississippi. I wish we'd have a home game of Southern Miss just so I could go to Letha's. It's really that good.
Well, if they're going
to
beat Calhoun's ribs, brother, they better go some. I'll take your word for it. But I'm staying home here.
Oh, Calhoun's is good too, but oh gosh, these were amazing. Just like a little shack off the side of US 98. Well, anyway,
I'll eat me a little soul food now. Nothing wrong with a little soul food.
Oh yeah,
brah.
Yeah, this is for real soul food. For real. This one hurts. This is why I wanted so much for us to win that Texas A&M game, because looking at this, I mean, you'd like to think we've got some hope. You know, if some things fall right for us, we could get it done. But, you know, if we take care of that A&M game, then it doesn't matter what Florida and LSU do. It doesn't matter what anybody else does. We're still in control of our destiny now. We kind of need a little help. So that sucks. But, guys, it's still the IGYV, right?
It is to me. People thought we were talking about going to the national play. My whole thing, not national playoff, and it's not this, and it's winning the Eastern Division. And winning the Eastern Division and winning 10 games in regular season with a win over Florida is a fantastic year.
That's the goal.
It's a fantastic year. This next 10 seconds on the program brought to you by Johnny Gainesville, who's now giving me a $100 tip. And Johnny Gainesville, if you keep doing that, I will continue to let you have 10-second sponsorships. That's what this has come to tonight. That's what this has come to.
You know, Alabama should do that for their football team. They just sponsor the next 10 seconds by, you know, insert booster here, right?
No question.
Brought to you by Brando.
My wife said to me tonight, and this is a great line. She said, I wonder how much their total payroll is for that team.
Because
they look professional. Everything about them looks professional.
It's very sad to consider
the pay cut
some of those guys are going to have to take when they leave Alabama for the NFL.
It's
going to be hard.
Hey, listen, you're right, Doug. You're absolutely right.
Pretty good at that. You're not as good as I am. I got the Vern laugh down. So idiotic. And tonight he did it with Peyton. He was so gleeful over it. Peyton loves this place so much.
Give him some dreamland or something. Stop it, Vern.
Peyton loves this place so much, man. He really does. He's a neat ambassador for this place. He's our Michael Jordan, only he actually has something to do with his alma mater, as opposed to Michael Jordan who walks around in bitterness.
There you go. Hey, listen, with the IGY, all right? The only thing that I remember about, you know, when we studied, you know, science, history, whatever, the only thing I remember about IGY was that Vanguard rocket that blew up on the pad with national TV coverage. We were trying to put our first satellite into orbit.
That's right.
Russia had already put Sputnik into orbit.
That's right.
And we're trying to do that, and it blows up on the pad. And this is our Vanguard rocket moment, okay? Yep. This one just blew up on the pad, and you could kind of see it coming. But if I can mix analogies here, you were talking about the Soviets and the old hockey team that they had. A lot of people don't remember this, but before the Miracle on Ice, 2 weeks before, they played them in New York City, and they lost 10-3.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely got destroyed by these guys, and nobody could have seen this coming, that they would turn this around, that these kids, Herb Brooks and Michael Ruzioni and Jimmy Craig and all these guys would turn this around in a couple of weeks and beat them in Lake Placid. Nobody could have seen that coming. I don't know that we could turn that around and just beat Alabama all of a sudden, but look, this season is not done with. And there's no, I'm sorry, but when I look at what we've got, if we could just get healthy, like you said, I don't think there's anybody left that passes the last test that's going to take Tennessee out. I don't see it, fellas.
Thank you. Great talking to you. Thank you, brother.
Take care, brother. I love what you do, man.
Thank you.
Y'all have a good evening.
Sam Ricozzi, let me give you a shout out. Your wife is lovely. I love her. Congratulations on your marriage. You're very precious, and she's precious to me. 865-200-5402. Bino, we sat together yesterday at the Kenjo, right there, right where Neyland Stadium. We could almost see it right there in South Knoxville. We were feeling it. We were feeling it in the atmosphere yesterday. I kind of got sucked in. I went home last night thinking about all those injuries, thinking about no Kirkland, thinking about Lane Kiffin and them, their eyes like saucers. I didn't feel very good about it's like a lot of things. It seems like a good idea at the time till you get there. I didn't think it'd be that ugly. But you said something yesterday very profound, and I want to start here before I get your thoughts on today's game. If you can remember what you said, because I can't remember what my phone number is, so if you can share it with us.
Well, Tony, one of the things I said was that if Tennessee would have to flip the script, this was Tennessee's been a team that's been turnover prone, And Alabama's been a team that has made teams pay dearly for their turnovers. And I said if you could avoid surrendering non-offensive touchdowns, that I thought that we would be in the game till the very end. I did not think we could overcome that, which obviously we didn't. But our worst fears came true tonight. We played the number one team in the country, and they played like the number one team in the country with a roster that was way beyond shorthanded. We couldn't run it. We couldn't stop the run. We couldn't protect Josh, and we gave up their 10th and 11th non-offensive touchdowns of the year. And when you do that and you mix it all together, that spells ass-whipping, and that's what we got.
And the thing is, it's no referendum on where the program is. I had a guy call me all upset and tell me that I'm in the bag for Butch Jones, friend of mine. We got a big argument. I said, why? You know, it's just not going to happen. I said, what's not going to happen? This team's still on par to win 10 games and move the ball well, all these people are leaving next year. I said, yeah, but do you know Jerry Garantano is unbelievably talented? You don't know that. I said, no, you don't know that. I do know that. You don't know that.
It's a process, Tony.
The truth is being about this, and the truth is my saying tonight, I'm trying to use the truth is a lot for some reason. Because we have to stay in the truth here. Emotion's great, and I love emotion, and we rode that wave. We come off that off week and go to South Carolina and win that game. Every goal for this year is still, that I saw, is still in line. This team could still win the SEC championship. This team could still play in a New Year's Six-day bowl game. Even with a loss, they'll play in a New Year's Six-day bowl game because they're going to win 10 games. We're going to have Ole Miss's season. And I was wanting you to think of your little thing you had about the injuries, because people, when we were talking about the injuries yesterday, didn't want to believe what we were saying, but it turned out it was 1,000% right.
Yeah, at some point, Tony, it's no longer just a convenient excuse for losing football games. It's a stark reality.
There you go.
And we're to the stark reality point, especially against teams like Alabama. As far as the remainder, Tony, you and I talked about it. Before the Texas A&M game, I said I could see Tennessee doing anything from running the table to losing four of their last seven football games. And I still feel that way because of the injury situation and the fact that this team just walks a tightrope. But the two years prior to this, Butch Jones's teams coming down the stretch have done exactly what they needed to do. And if they run the table and they wind up 10-2, I don't care if Florida wins. I mean, I want to go to Atlanta, but if Florida wins the rest of their games, I'll believe going to my grave, we had the best team in the East and our Western Division schedule kept us from going to Atlanta. If this team goes 10-2, they will have fulfilled what I want them to do. I'll be ecstatic with that. And the one thing I'm not going to do is what I did in the 90s. And that's judge our entire program against one other program and feel like that if we're not playing with them, we're not doing what we're supposed to do, and it's not enjoyable. I refuse to go there again. I'm not telling anybody they shouldn't go there. It's never okay to lose to your rival by 39 points. That is never acceptable under any circumstances.
People saying that us, and all, by us I mean Russell, myself, and Bino, all saying 10-2 today. That we're drunk. Now, I'll tell you right now, I'm about done my first beer. Russell's not drunk yet, and Bino doesn't drink. So, I don't think we're drunk. But let's go back to the phones.
Who are you
saying that they do not, there's no way we'll go 10-2?
But people think, yeah.
Who are you going to play in these next five games that is even remotely on the same planet as the team that you saw Tennessee play today?
That's why I would throw the film out.
You could
learn nothing from that.
You could take the best players on all five of these next teams. combined and put them on one super all-star team, and they wouldn't be half as good as the team Tennessee played today.
And Florida is the shizzling drits. The thought of
not
them,
only am I not drunk yes. saying that, I will be really disappointed if that's not what we do.
They murder.
If we 92 yeah. this thing, if we 92 this thing, I'll be disappointed.
They murdered poor Missouri, and I'm being told I've got to watch the film. Which, no, you don't have to watch the film. I'm not watching that film. And if I were the coaching staff, except for alignment purposes, if I had the similar personnel out there, I ain't watching the film. Back to the phones we go, because what are you going to learn off that film?